In Jesus' name, I will read a portion from John's Gospel, chapter 20. This section begins with verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, and said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Amen. The organizer of the services had selected for this sermon, before the sermon, our brother's psalm, where there is a talk of Easter happenings, of the suffering and life. And that's how I gained confidence in taking this portion of this, the Bible that we are in front of here now. There in the grave, in where Jesus was, there were many trails and paths. Before this portion that we have read, at the grave there were visitors, two known disciples, known to us disciples, which Mary had. Went to get, as Mary had found the grave to be empty. Peter and John had gone to the grave and seen that Jesus's body is no longer there. One of these disciples, John, it was said, told that he believed. We remember that of Peter's path that he had made astray path. He had denied knowing Jesus, even though he had stated that he would be beside Jesus unto imprisonment or even death. But fortunately, in that sense, that Jesus' face, once he had seen the sign that Jesus had spoken of the cock crowing, Peter had remorsed what he had done and seeked for comfort, and it had been found there where the disciples were, which from the disciple that was said to be loved by Jesus. Here's something that can be thought of on our own journey and trail of life. If things have gone so poorly that we have found ourselves in a denier's place, it is good to find such a person that we know that they are a friend of the Lord and Savior, a believing person. But these brothers were, however, also in different positions. They were consultants. They're on the lake, or Jesus gave back these tasks as he asked three times, "Lovest thou me?" Perhaps we will return to this topic once again, but it is good also to look back to that perspective of Mary's cry of who is this Mary. On the end of the text was mentioned that this was one of the Bible's many Marys, Mary Magdalene. What do we know about this person's background? In Gospel Luke, which looks at this, mentions these women that were followers of Jesus by name, speaks of one section of Mary Magdalene, that Jesus had from her driven out seven bad spirits. What does that testament of the Bible mean? Simply stated, of course, this thought in the central idea or message, we can understand that Mary had in her life received repentance, the grace of repentance, but also probably those spirits that they were also real issues in her previous life, as they were told to us. Perhaps They can be left to our guessing or imagination. I have at some point wondered about this, that is there this type of thing in our time? Perhaps we don't speak of them in this way. Many of those type of issues that are in this world that bring destructive habits or that into people's lives that are difficult to be gotten rid of. It's possible that if such a person has experienced or been in this situation, such as in drunkenness, they may find that they have a challenge with these issues for the rest of their lives. We have communion ceremony after this evening. We have an alcohol-free option in the communion to not subject someone to subject somebody to alcohol, as it may be one drop takes somebody to difficult situations. There may be other effects of sins upon this world that must be of work of the devil. The devil wishes to take a hold of us. It may be that someone suffers from gambling or challenges with sexual life and difficult matters. This subject matter is not unfamiliar in later writings. In some way it becomes evident in regards to disciple group, speaking of Apostle Paul's life. Apostle Paul, the example of Paul, which also is linked to this Easter experience or happening. Apostle Paul had seen a lot in the work of the gospel and most likely heard a lot. But he states that, however, he says that in his flesh is a spot or a challenge that Satan's angel tempts such that he tries not to boast or be too proud. So I have thought that what is this demon or angel that Apostle Paul speaks of? But it's thought that Apostle Paul talks about this taking care of the undying soul in this way, even though he doesn't straightforward say it. And also, the issues of Mary Magdalene are not such told in such a straightforward way. But it is this that draws us towards the sinful world. It does not need to be told to everyone what each of our challenges are. When we fight against this desire, we have been given the ability of confirming or to take care of these matters without telling everyone. With it is that if we find ourselves fallen into sin, we have the ability to resolve this issue in we may also resolve this matter with another Christian, as traditionally this has been in the work of our speaker brothers or priests. But it is necessary that the person that resolves this sin, it needs to carry the Holy Spirit or to be a believing person. And as Jesus has given this task of forgiveness, take, as Jesus said, take the Holy Spirit, and for whom you release those sins, they shall be released in heaven. Not all of our life matters are meant to be known by everyone, but also we know at the same time that if a believing person finds themselves in such sin that is against crime against humanity or community or other persons, then these matters need to be resolved to the end. Apostle Paul says about his own travels that I strive there that I have a clean and unsought conscience in front of the Lord as well as other people. That Paul's picture of life fits well into this Easter happening, that we can see through that also of how this experience of Mary Magdalene at the grave was. At the background, there was in the near history that Jesus had been put to death in a quite gruesome way, and it was said that they had sent with Jesus their will, and this large spirit of their life, this savior of their life, had been taken away. And then upon this, it was happened that the grave was empty, and was suspected that this was a grave theft of the Jesus' grave. We have experienced that when it's time of grieving and loss, it is also important, these ceremonies of funeral and what are traditions. And on top of this, in this story, was this issue of the empty grave, and Mary was quite taken back that Mary did not blink to the idea or thought that there were angels in the grave. She seemed to keep normal composure, or normal that there were angels in the grave. It might be so that in most cases this would provide shock to a person, but this may tell us something about the situation in which Mary was. And then there was also this unknown man who Mary thought to be the gardener and asks in the manner of the way of the angels, asks Mary, "Why weepest thou?" And Mary replied, "They have taken my Lord, and I know not where they have placed him." And there Jesus stood upon her, and Mary was seeking or searching for a dead Jesus, but he stood alive. She did not know, but one word changed Mary in this situation. There was one word, Mary. It was personal, a personal way to address, or maybe also the way it was said or pronounced, or the Savior's voice that is not said here. But then Mary answers, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." A great sorrow in the blink of an eye was changed into great joy. The joy of Easter or resurrection. Jesus is not dead, but lives. When Apostle Paul speaks of his own temptations of life, he takes a bit of the same type of experience. He states that he knows a man who is of Christ, a believing man, which was placed in the third heaven. And then he repeats his thought, saying that he was placed into paradise. Apostle Paul looks at this happening, this great happening, with this person, saying, "Was he in his body, or was he outside of his body? That he does not know. Only God knows." Three, or third heaven. Quite possibly, or surely, Mary felt in this situation that the heaven, the paradise of God, had come down. That she went to tell of this, to bring a message about this. The first heaven is shown to us even here today. Psalm writer at his time spoke, "When I look at the heaven, the work of your hands, what is a person, but yet you still remember him?" The third heaven is finding one's way to heaven's home in paradise, as it is written. When Apostle Paul looked at his own travels, that trigger that tormented him, he had prayed that God would take that away. I don't know if anyone is listening to this word today that have perhaps prayed in this way in their own temptations and trials of life that God would take these away. What type of answer did this traveler get? Take my mercy. There is enough. The strength is found in weakness. For that reason, beloved brothers and sisters, listeners, it is a joy to tell of this. On earth there is a heaven of mercy, the second heaven, the grace kingdom within the people of God, or God's congregation, where new strength is found for the journey. I have thought also that about this Mary, whom had large greetings or saying for these disciples from a different perspective. It's not even told by name. For example, in the Acts, it is stated the women that have been followers of Jesus. The first witness of resurrection was not someone of a large stature, was not someone that was a brother that was in a leader or guidance role, but a normal believing woman. This living faith has always moved in the midst of the poor. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is the righteous saying that the first of is, righteous are those who are spiritually poor, as they own the heaven's kingdom. Righteous are the sorrowful, as they will receive comfort. And righteous are the quiet, as they will inherit the earth. It was in the service, Suviseura Radio was probably also in a program of a simple Lapland woman who was able to show the way of living faith to Pastor Lestarius, and in this way was able to experience a taste of the joy of heaven. And for these disciples, Mary Magdalene brought back the greetings of the Savior that lives and stating that he is going to the God of Jesus' God and Mary's God and going, leading the way to heaven's home. Beloved listeners of this word, it is experienced in this way that as I thought of this sermon from Sokka in Ylivieska, there was a man, Teuvo Koskela, who has found his way to heaven's glory. He had his last sermon in my home, RY Church. Teuvo was not able to have the strength to go to the pulpit to speak, but in his walker was able to find the white table that was set below. And he was thinking about, Teuvo was thinking about when he was set to be a speaker in his youth, and he was a teacher in this community. He found it to be a large request and difficult. But he tells about this, where he was able to learn about Christianity. And also myself, I have experienced this and have learned about Christianity. Teuvo was in a group of teachers, went to present a senior home and noticed that there was a believing woman here in this senior home, and this we could say that this senior was wide open mouth believing and Devil had to say he had to kind of shy away from this woman and went through this program. But then in a side room, they were offered coffee. And all of a sudden, they were having coffee afterwards and the door opened and this woman came through the door and said, "Here you are." And so this woman came to Teuvo and told of her troubles on her journey. And sure, Teuvo blessed her. But this woman in the senior home said to the other that this man is believing with a precious faith, and stated that perhaps this faith maybe left him thinking that maybe it's said to this group, devil said to this group that there's no reason to boast about this faith as it is weak, such as the woman herself. And the woman said, "The faith is not weak. It leads the way to heaven. There is a hard, strong force that would steer us astray. But this faith takes us one day to heaven." And so the devil said, He has never forgotten that happening. In this way, it lives, this knowledge of faith, with the simple ways of Christian life. It has the words of everlasting life, and these words of Apostle Paul said, or was it Peter, said, "Where shall we go, as Lord, as thou hast the words of everlasting life?" Those are those words that tell us that the redemption work of the cross is the truth, and the resurrection is the truth, and the Son of God has been crucified for our sins, and that is why you, listener of the word, can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and to be of free mind, comforted mind. This type of saying, message has echoed in this land of our fathers, and it goes there where the own of the Savior, where God's kingdom, grace kingdom, can find its home, and we can also here today belong to this kingdom. It is not always high feelings, such as perhaps maybe we're in these lives or times of these persons that I spoke of in the Bible. But as Apostle was Paul was told, "In my mercy is for you all you need." It is a challenge, the travel of the believer to the end. It is not often, even from an older person, a lack of temptations from a single place of watching. That is why it is very important to keep contact, to greet those who have found themselves into those kind of solitary places. Here in this ending of my sermon, I would like to encourage those who listen from that place that you would wish to find yourself in the midst of the children of God, but sickness has left you at home or in the hospital. God's grace is enough for you too. You may believe. The issues of your life forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. One day also, the day of Easter, of resurrection, will open to also you, as for did witness Mary for the first time when the dead are awakened. I lean to Leonard Tupa's song, Easter song. It may be difficult language for us, but it pictures this time when Jesus appeared to his congregation. In that song is written that, "Look, the winter has gone, rains have ceased, flowers grow from the ground. The time for singing has come, and the bird sings upon the land." That is the picture of the heavenly wedding. Väinö Havas also in a hymn says that there is as the Son, the Lamb of the Lord, and bright is the believing crowd. The clouds will not shade the face of Christ. There are no cries or tears of sorrow. I think Havas is speaking of talking about this Easter happening, of this resurrection where the brothers had fled, thought that maybe they would receive the same treatment as the Savior, but instead a new future had opened. We are the citizens of the future, or the people of the future, the congregation, where the congregation is. We are on our way towards the great Easter or great resurrection. I have spoken of these matters, and I feel that my own travels have been weak. I would like to ask, can I remain in faith with you? May I receive here the gospel? I wish to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.